This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Have you ever wondered why when you flick a switch, lights turn on? Where does that electricity come from and how is it distributed? Well, today we will be speaking to newly listed Powerwell Holdings Berhad, an electricity distribution manufacturer that makes switchboards and switch gears that help turn that light on. So in the studio with me now is their executive director, Ricky Lee. Now, let's start at the beginning. Tell me very briefly, what products do you make and who are your customers?
Okay, for Powerwell, we are in the design and manufacturing of LV switchboard and MV switchgear and related products.
Okay, LV here means long voltage and medium voltage,
actually,
right?
Low voltage in Malaysia is 415 volts, yeah.
Okay, and how important are these switchboards and switchgears? I mean, we take it for granted, but what's the purpose of it in electricity distribution?
You see, for a switchboard, actually, it's behind a building where you can't see it. But you see, the whole building, the life is given when there's electricity transmitting to, distributed to the overall of the building, providing ambience, like you have an aircon. When everything is fine, you won't feel that uneasiness, but when something breaks down, then you feel, what happened then with all those things? So that's why Powerwell products, we are type-tested to the International Electrotechnical Commission, IEC standard.
Because it's important, right? It's fire hazard. I mean, if the switchboards and switchgears are not designed properly.
Yeah, because how do you know when the switchboard itself, it need to function, to act? If it's not tested, it might not work. So we actually went through very robust tests.
And you're quite an old company, aren't you? You've been in business for how many years?
Well, Powerwell has been in the business since 1991. We are over 25 years in the industry.
And who are your customers? Is it a combination of domestic or overseas clients?
We have a combination between domestic and overseas. So we have different segments supplied to, like in the residential commercial building, and on the industry, and as well as like the hospital and so forth. So we supply to different segments.
And just to clarify, right, because you do have some of products under the Powerwell brand, which is your own.
Yes.
And of course, you're also authorized to manufacture and sell products from some of these famous names like Schneider and Siemens, global players in this field, right? Now, I just want to ask, why was there this decision to make your own products? Is it higher margin and do you own the intellectual property of these products?
Okay, we are actually authorized by Siemens to manufacture their LV switchboard, which is called Sivacon S8. And on the MV switchgear is Seymour Prime. So, well, we do have our own power brand LV switchboard. We have been in the industry for so long supplying to commercial building. Then we want to move up to a higher, more high stringent requirement. Example, when we talk about petrochemicals, when we talk about power plant. That's where we, as an authorized manufacturer by Siemens to manufacture their brand, we are able to promote ourselves to those areas in the oil and gas industry. That's where gradually with this brand that we have, also it actually helped the company to promote to a higher level where we can do high-end projects like all this type of project that I mentioned.
But why your own brand then? Is there a conflict of interest because, you know, you've got probably, I suppose, a long-standing relationship with the principals of Schneider and Siemens, right?
Yeah.
But now you decided to do your own products. Is there a conflict there?
There's not a conflict because in those days when the oil price was about $100 per barrel, in those petrochemical oil and gas, they are only recognized global brand like Siemens, ABB and GE. When the country they develop, they will prefer some localization. So in this case, Siemens, they went through a stringent vet-through of all the company. Then we were selected to be one of their technology partner doing the Sivacons.
Mm.
So we have supplied some projects in this rapid impengaran.
Yeah, but your own brand, why do you come up with that? And is it in direct competition with Schneider and Siemens products?
As I mentioned, those days, these are the brands that are actually been called for the international, like the EPCC, they call for ABB, they call for Siemens as well as Schneider. So that's where Powell, as a technology partner, we can supply to this type of project to Siemens.
And your own brands, right? I just want to be clear. Do they fetch higher margins versus those that you bring in, those that come from Schneider and Siemens?
Okay, for, as you know, like this brand, this multinational brand, their price would be a bit more on the premium.
But you just make a distributor margin then?
No, we actually authorize to manufacture.
Right. Yeah, but you have to share the royalties then, isn't it?
Now at this moment, there is no royalty payment. Okay. It's just that, because you see, it's a strategic alliance with Siemens. So the product we make, we have to use their component inside a Siemens. So that's how the synergy is.
Okay, but you make more money from your own brand?
If you look at it, both of them is, as I said, we are more on project based.
Okay.
So if any project that actually meet our pricing and profitability strategy, then we'll go for it, even though we still need to compete.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. So which one is more profitable normally? Your own brand?
It would be more, when I say high-end, when you have a bigger volume, then automatically the margin will be higher. And in terms of quantum, you know?
All right. And what's the unique selling point of buying a switchboard or switchgear from you versus any of the other competition in the market? Because I did a bit of digging and I think this whole industry is very fragmented. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of competition out there. There doesn't seem even to be a market leader among the local players. So why would someone come to you? Why would a customer come to you and buy a Powell product versus another brand?
Okay, if we look at the market at this moment, Powell has a proven track record of 25 years supplying to different segments. And all our products are international tested to what I mentioned just now, the IEC standard, which ultimately when you go to more of those example high-end projects, when I talk about high-end or critical mission, we are talking about like data center, we are talking about hospital, we are talking about airports.
Mm.
So normally this project M&E consultant will specify that the products need to be type tested to the IEC standard.
So it's your reputation that your products have a certain quality and standard.
Yes. So we have been, our product has been tested and certified.
Do you have to fight on pricing? Is it very competitive out there?
Well, as I mentioned, as long as the projects meet our pricing and profitability strategy, we will go for it. So
you do walk away from projects if they don't meet your internal rate of return?
Yeah. So, because it's no point getting a project where actually it will erode your profitability.
Okay, and now 2020, it's been an exciting time for Powell, right? Because you did a listing on ACE Market in 22nd of January?
Yeah, 22nd
so
January.
So why the decision to list on ACE particularly? I mean, there's always this issue that, you know, if you list on ACE, you might lose some visibility versus, let's say, main board. Is it because you couldn't meet the main board requirements?
Actually, it's not about you don't meet the main board. You see, if you, to qualify to be the main board, you have to have the price
500 million capitalization.
Yeah, and then it's 50 cents. But for us, we decided to go for this ACE Market so that the issue price is flexible. Yeah. So then also we can have a wider range for the Malaysia public, the retail investor to invest in our company. And in return, we hope from that, because with that quantum of 25 cents, and we are listing, we can attract more retail investor. And nevertheless, hopefully in the future, if the opportunity arises, we might
move to
the main board, yeah.
So what are the utilization plans for the proceeds? Because you raised 21.85 million ringgit, right? So I suppose what? CapEx is one big item?
Yes, CapEx is about 10 million. Embark for the purchase of the machinery.
This is part of your business growth strategy.
Yes, and the ERP, entrepreneurial resource planning, and hardware.
Okay.
So
is your growth strategy going to be product-driven or more market-driven? Because I see from your prospectus, exports is about 40% of revenue, right? So is this something that you're trying to increase that number? Is there a target to eventually be, let's say, half-half between local and exports?
Okay, as I mentioned, we participate in both overseas and local, whichever project that meet our pricing strategy, we'll go for it. Definitely, we would like to expand geographically. That's why we
So which countries? Because currently you do, like Vietnam is 41%, India is 46% exports, right?
Yeah.
So what other markets are you looking at?
It's actually in this Bangladesh and also in Vietnam and Indonesia.
And are margins better for exports or local?
Well, when we go into an overseas market, definitely when we go in, we promote our international type-tested product in some country where they are non-type-tested.
So do you have to sacrifice margins then too? Because it's a foreign market. You might not have your, your brand that is not so well-known.
We would select the segment to go in. Example, in Indonesia, we will focus in those infrastructure like airports.
So is it the same? The margins the same as local?
I would say for overseas, normally it will be on more on a secure payment. You have those on LC.
Okay.
But when the market gradually grow, then there will be more competition. Okay. Yeah.
And then let's go back to the listing because, you know, when I look at it, right, a lot of the capital raised from the IPO was used for listing expenses, as much as 4.1 million out of the 21.9. So on percentage terms, is 19%. Seems a lot when I compare it to other main board listings like InNature at 12% and AME Elite at 9%. So would it have been better to fund all your expansion plans, your growth strategy through gearing rather than listing?
You see, to us, when we are a listed entity, so number one, it actually enhance the company corporate profile and image. And number two, is also as a listed, if we are able to expand our customer base, retain and attract new employees. And as being a listed company, we need to be more transparent.
Yeah, that would be,
Then this would help in our overseas business dealing.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is because I noticed you do have an offer of sale of 58 million shares.
Yeah.
So essentially, the management, I mean, the holding company, you guys did make 14.5 million ringgit from the IPO. So it's kind of a cash out, right? Would you say so?
You see, the promoter and the shareholders are still actually a major shareholder
But you didn't have to issue new shares, right? If you had faith in the company, you could have maintained your stakes completely and still done the IPO exercise.
Well, you see, we have been in this industry for 25 years. So for this listing requirement, we need to actually have 25%. So that's where the promoter or the board has 10%. But we are committed to build the business. As I mentioned, the objective of list is to gain access to the capital market for future business growth and business expansion.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Ricky Lee, Executive Director of Powerwell Holdings Berhad. Up next, we are going to ask the hard financial questions, the challenges of this business, and whether it's a good idea to buy the stock. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Ricky Lee, Executive Director of Powerwell Holdings Berhad. Just a moment ago, we were getting an update on the business strategy for growth and why the ACE market listing. Now, Ricky, time for the financials, and in detail, please. So from the prospectus, it looks like financial year 2019 won't be such a good year compared to 2018, because I only have the nine-month revenue, which stands at 66 million, thereabouts. Now, that compared to a full-year revenue of 105 million in 2018. Now, unless you're telling me, and I'm usually quite optimistic, you can book in sales of 40 million in the last quarter of last year, your numbers would actually be worse off than 2018, right?
Well, in 2018, our sales revenue was about 105 million.
Yes.
So based on FPE September, we are at 66 million. So for this, as I mentioned, our business is, we are project-based. So when project-based is all dependent on the project progress, also actually in the construction industry, in inherent situation that is beyond our controls. But so if you look at it, we actually would strive to achieve what we want to previous year. But if you look at 2019, at that moment, quite a number of projects, mega projects, was either put on hold, redesigned, example.
Or delayed, cancelled some of them.
They are re-engineering, yeah. So, but the good news is, in recently, in the Q4 of 2019 or early 2020, the government has announced the revival of some of these mega projects.
So you expect 2020 to be a much better year?
Yeah, definitely.
So your revenue would probably see a better number for 2020?
At the current moment, our order book stands about 59 million, which actually would be delivered in this FPE 2020. And some of these are some of the infrastructure projects, which actually now has moved forward and in advanced progress now.
And in terms of net margins, right, are you still going to achieve what has been your historical average of about 11.5%? Or have you seen margin compression? Because, you know, like you say, it's tough times.
Have your
competitors decided that, you know, I'm going to throw prices to, you know, because it's all about cash flow, right, for some of these players?
Yes. Coming back on the PAT, I would say it's still at double digit. If you look at it, it's about 11% based on FPE September 2019. So we are confident that we are able to
continue maintaining it.
Yeah.
But what would be the challenges? How is the raw material prices now? Because that's about 70% of your cost.
Well, on the raw material, as I mentioned early, is that normally is also depends on, example, the couples. So what we do strategy, we do monitor, we do some hedging on the copper when we see the price.
This is copper prices, right? Yeah.
Copper prices, which also dependent on the LME. So with our strategy, we do our pricing and our buffer on the
So you
tendering.
Look at the London Metal Exchange prices,
yes.
And you do some form of hedging, is it? If you see prices down, do you buy forward then and think in anticipation?
We would look at our order book and anticipate when the delivery, then we can actually book in advance.
Okay, like you said, your order book is above, what, close to 60 million.
Yeah.
How much are you tendering for, though, for this? Is the tender book size now?
At this moment, the tender book is set above the 100 million. There's about...
What is your success rate normally?
Normally, based on historic, is about 25% to 30%.
So you should be able to raise your order book to the 70, 80 million levels, right? Your current is 60.
And we are actually aggressively, most of the projects are actually now at stage of bidding and tender. Recently, we just bidded for this MRT underground package and we are waiting for the result.
Okay, so, but we do know that it has been a challenging time for the construction and property sector for 2018, 2019. So you do think that 2020, despite these headwinds, is going to be a better year for Powerwell?
Well, on the Malaysian side, as I mentioned, based on this data from the government, that they expect the construction sector in 2020 to grow by 3.7%. Mm-hmm. More Powerwell, we are not only in Malaysia, we are geographically, in example, in this ASEAN, we are in Vietnam, Indonesia, as well as countries like Bangladesh.
But we're all facing similar headwinds, right? There's global growth is slowing in all the countries in ASEAN. And I'm sure it's going to be maybe even worse off in 2020. We have this new Black Swan event from China, with the coronavirus. So are you still as optimistic as you were?
Well, we look at the recent news of this coronavirus, but most of the projects, some are already in the design stage. I think they will move forward.
Okay. And the other observation I have is that trade receivables seem to be on the rising trend with your company. Is this a function of your customers, taking longer to pay you, right? So is there the possibility that you might have to impair or do some write-offs? Because, you know, the number of trade receivable days has gone up, right? It was like 131 days last year. Now it's 168 for 2019.
Okay, based on that, the trade receivable, because some of our long-term customers, so we do give them an extended credit period based on their previous track records. So there won't be any, like, they are not willing to pay, but we... Due to the collection scenario.
Yeah, but is there a risk that they might just default on? Because, you know, the external environment isn't the best, right? We know that we've established that.
So we do the assessment of those customers who are extending the payment to them. So those are our long-term customers. And in financially, we look at their capability to pay. So
you're comfortable.
Yeah, we're comfortable with them.
And here I want to ask about wages, you know, because I noticed that staff costs represent 23 and 14% of total admin and distribution expenses for last year and 2018 respectively. Now, fixed cost is coming down good because, you know, revenue has been soft for you. But on the flip side, director's remuneration has increased. So why are you guys paying yourself more, especially when earnings are down?
Okay, for the directors, so the remuneration are up because it also, when we are expanding, we actually would have given, like example, when we set up a subsidiary. So the director who are in charge of that subsidiary, who can deliver the result, then it will based on their performance.
Okay, but total staff cost has come down. Only director's remuneration has gone up.
So, you see, for the staff cost, is compared with the director remuneration, is previously all the director was just working. And then when we look at it, then we should actually, based on the deliverable of each director on the performance to justify it, rather than previously we are not listed. So it's okay. If
you and since you talked about listing, I have to end by asking about your share price because it closed at 24 cents yesterday. IPO price was 25 cents. So kind of out of money now, but should I take the opportunity to buy the stock and why?
Well, based on, if you ask me.
Quickly, 1 minute, Ricky. Because why should we buy Powerwell shares? If at all.
You see, we have a strong order book and we have been in the industry for 25 years. And we are not only in Malaysia, we are also in overseas, like in countries.
But your valuations aren't the cheapest though, because even at 2018 earnings, you're talking about 11.5 times PE.
Well, based on the construction, it's up in the 10. So we think we are fairly priced and we believe that at this moment, it's a good time to buy because if you look at historically our PAT, I leave it to the investor to decide.
On that note, thank you for your time today, Ricky, to tell us about Powerwell. I'm Wong Xiao Ning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.